Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, he finally cut cable last month, Pat Flynn.
And hey, I know you've been enjoying these follow-up Friday episodes. We've gotten so many great comments about them. And wanted to let you know, just right now, we're not going away, but we're taking a little bit of a summer break. I wanted to get a little bit of time back for the summer with the family. We're going to be going some places, doing some things that, of course, we've been itching to do for the longest time. And now that, you know, April and I are both vaccinated and the kids are itching to get outside too, and summer's here, we're going to take a little bit of a break. So we're going to come back and we're going to reassess. We're going to get some feedback from the audience to see what we can do to make them better. The Wednesday episodes are still going to come out, so don't worry about the follow-up Fridays. We're just going to take a little break. So just letting you know, thanks so much again for your feedback, and we'll see you when we come back. But this is the last Friday follow-up episode for now. So I hope you enjoy your summer too. I hope you're making time for the things that are important for you. And thanks for understanding. Earlier this week, we spoke with Kevin Espiritu from Epic Gardening on YouTube and epicgardening.com. If you haven't listened to that episode, I'd highly recommend it because Kevin has a really interesting story about how he kind of fell into gardening and how he's just gone all in with it, truly all in with it. And he's doing so many great things. And that interview, you know, after we hung up and after sort of I edited the show with the team, it made me think about how much even closer we've gotten together since that chat. And how often I actually chat with Kevin. And I spoke about this not too long ago about the importance of relationships and finding a buddy and somebody that you can rely on. But I wanted to go even deeper into that because Kevin definitely demonstrates this. I spoke about it when I had Chris Ducker on the show. But more than that, you know, the cool thing that Kevin does is he just kind of checks in with me every once in a while. He knows I'm sort of a beginner gardener. He knows that I have started a garden in the backyard with the kids, and he knows sort of what's in the garden. He's never been over to our house. He's seen pictures because I've shared them with him. But it reminded me of another person who's been on the show before, Jordan Harbinger. And when Jordan was on the show in episode 346, he talked about something called the layoff lifeline. And the layoff lifeline is this idea that there are people in your life who, if you were to get laid off or go through some tragic thing in your life of some kind, these are the people that you could kind of go to in that time of help. And Jordan had spoken in that episode about the time that he got kicked out of his own business, and he reached out to me and several other people who he had kept in touch with over time to ask for a favor. And we all bent over backwards, essentially, to do what we could to help Jordan out. And here he is. He's just crushing it now. And he had those layoff lifelines in his hand. If you might remember that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? You could phone a friend. And this is sort of that idea that you could, in the time of need, reach out to these people. And that really got me thinking about the relationships that I've had and how I could keep those going. And Kevin just, like, I don't know if this is just a natural thing that Kevin does, but I've noticed this with many successful people who I've gotten in contact with. They just seem to always reach out just to kind of check in and see how we're doing, just for no other purpose than to just see how we're doing. And it's just such a great feeling on the receiving end of that. And every once in a while, Kevin messages me and checks on the strawberries that we're doing and how the tomatoes are growing. And he knows we're growing blueberries. And, you know, I'm just not quite sure when they're ripe. And I, you know, am on his live streams every once in a while and he'll follow up with me. And he, you know, we've gotten to text each other. We're also in a Telegram group together, or Telegram. I can't remember what the name of that app is, but it's like a group voice and text messaging app of sorts, sort of like WhatsApp. But Kevin definitely demonstrates this. And again, this is a common factor between successful people that I've found, is that they continue to nourish and nurture those relationships that they start. I've noticed this with Michael Hyatt and Chalene Johnson, and Lewis House reaches out every once in a while. It's just one of those things. Ramin Sethi, Amy Porterfield, just a text out of nowhere. And so again, just another reminder to keep those relationships going. And, you know, I don't know, and I don't care how you organize them. You just have to be able to do that. And I've been trying to do better at that too, because as you begin to grow and scale as a business, you start to, you know, lose touch with some people, and you might not know that they could be the answer to your next biggest question, a question that you might even know doesn't exist yet. You might have some trouble moving forward, or you might have a cool promotion or what have you. It doesn't have to be sort of a tragic thing. But in that time of need, if you haven't reached out to a person in a while and you haven't connected and kept that relationship going and just checked in, then good luck trying to ask for help, because it's just going to seem like a favor that comes out of nowhere versus a favor that one asks a friend that a friend, hey, you didn't even have to ask. I'd be more than happy to do that, right? Another thing that I've noticed Kevin do ever since we chatted was he goes live, and he's really good at putting his personality into his stuff. Like, he did this thing recently where he was showing people live around his garden, right? Whatever your platform is, it's really, really cool. I talk about this in my book, Superfans, to kind of bring people inside the factory doors, right? People see his YouTube videos, people see his edited videos on Instagram. But when he's live and he's bringing people, quote unquote, backstage, it makes them feel special, makes them feel like VIPs, especially when he addresses people by name. He sometimes does these charity things and people do donate hundreds of dollars. But more than that, he's showing people where these videos are filmed, but sort of in real time, and he can answer questions. He did this thing recently where he was showing you how to harvest chamomile. Doesn't matter how you say it, but it's like a flower, right? And you pluck it out after almost looks like a daisy. It's like white petals with a yellow center, and you dry them out, and then you can put them in tea. Chamomile. I don't know. Chris Tucker would be upset at me right now. We often fight about this too. But anyway, when he did his videos, he did one where he was just kind of like plucking them out and then putting them in this basket. But every time he did it, he would just be like, boop, boop, bizong, like random sounds. And it was just like, on the surface, you're like, this is a person who's running, you know, this ginormous business, and he's booping online. But he's just kind of silly and interesting like that, and weird, just like I'm super weird sometimes, and you're probably weird too. And the question too is, how often are you bringing your true self out there in that way? There was even a moment where he's just harvested his potatoes, and he's been kind of experimenting. Actually, it's really cool what he's doing, because he's using this new land that he got, and he's growing like five types of potatoes, and he's kind of showing, like, each of those potatoes are a different video, right? And then just all the potatoes are another video. And he's doing another one where he has three different ways to grow tomatoes and different ways to sort of keep them staying up straight as they grow. And he's got them all right next to each other. Each of those is a video. The whole thing is a video. It's really cool. So again, he's showing you behind the scenes. Anyway, when he was doing his potato thing, somebody said that like his head looks like a potato. And instead of like being upset about it, he like embraces it. And he actually had a potato. I don't know if somebody sent it to him or somebody gave him a picture that he then printed on a pillow, but he got a pillow created with like potatoes, but his face, like his eyes and his mouth sort of like photoshopped in those potatoes. And it's the ugliest thing. I mean, he just kind of shows it behind the scenes and he's like, this thing will not come into my house. It's haunted. It's the weirdest thing ever. But then he'll like lay next to it and take a photo and be like, yo, I'm a potato, and just kind of embrace that. And you know, so if you haven't followed Kevin, like I would highly recommend doing it. He's one of the most prolific and smartest content creators right now. And yes, he's in the gardening arena right now. So Epic Gardening on YouTube. He's doing so many things right. But I also know that he also, and he was very upfront with this in the interview we did, you know, he doesn't have everything perfectly organized. He wishes he did things more streamlined. He forgets to do some things here and there, but he's fully focused and he's obsessed with it and he's bringing his personality out. And that alone will get you so, so far, right? So far. He's also very, very prolific with understanding trends, right? So not just like trends and okay, it's strawberry season, so we better create like a strawberry video or get ready for one, but trends of other creators online and videos that do well there and how to kind of piggyback off of them in a way. You're not stealing, but for example, there's this like 5 minutes crafts YouTube videos where they just kind of do these gardening hacks and they're really bad. Like they don't mostly don't work, and then just kind of edit things to make, you know, you could put the seeds in a glass and then you'll get roots, and then you can put these things in a napkin and all of a sudden you can plant it and you'll have a mango tree or whatever. He demystifies those myths and basically tell the truth. But he also knows that when he does that, because those videos have like 8 million views, by addressing those specific videos and commenting on them and reacting to them, I mean, they're not the fanciest edited videos, but he has great information in them. And they tie into those very popular videos, and he's getting suggested views from them. And he's getting, you know, some people who watch those videos to go and watch his because they want to know if this thing actually works or not. And he's getting a load of traffic that way. They're some of his most popular videos. And it's also a great way to just kind of become the expert, right? If you notice that there's some myths out there, if you notice that there are any like trends or other things that you're maybe like, well, I don't know how I feel about that, why not write a blog post about it or host a podcast episode and bring a guest on to talk about this. Maybe that guest takes that side and you take another side so you can have this formal, respectful debate about it. And that's really interesting. That's very different. Maybe you create a video to show the truth behind something. And this takes me to something that I learned once from Ramit Sethi and several other people. It's this idea that when you are in whatever space you're in, you have to take a stand, right? I think it was in Hamilton. It's like, if you don't know what you stand for, what will you, or if you don't know who you'll fight for, what will you stand for? Okay, I totally butchered that quote. It's been a while since I've seen Hamilton. My absolute favorite musical, by the way. In the room where it happened, the room where it happened. Sorry. Anyway, the incredible thing is that when you say, you don't go, well, you know what? I believe that everybody should start a podcast. Or, you know, I think that it would be good if you put your personality out online. You take a stand. Everybody needs a podcast. I truly believe that. And when I've embraced that, when I have owned that thought, I've made more sales. I've been more confident. The emails hit harder. More things work when you take a stand. If you start using words like I think or I believe or maybe, then how are people going to understand if that's actually what you feel or not? How are they going to stand behind you if you don't know what you stand for? There you go. That was a little bit better. So take a stand for something. And it might mean that you're going to draw a line and there's going to be people on the other end. There's going to be people that are upset. And I remember this just sparks a memory for me. This was in Schaumburg, Illinois, 2011, my first speaking gig. And I'm not talking about the, you know, I don't want to talk about my first time on stage. I've talked about that many times, but I want to talk about the first time I saw Ramit Sethi, speaking of, who spoke there. It's the first time I saw him speak. And to start his talk, again, this was a personal finance blogger conference. And he was in the finance space, but he always had a different tone and a different thought and took a different stance. But he did take a stand. And he was more in the camp of, instead of penny pinching, instead of putting $20 away in your account every month and then enjoying yourself finally when you're 65, he talks about living a rich life and having that $4 latte, but getting it through bigger wins, getting a raise, getting that dream job, starting a business, et cetera. And I resonated with him because I started a business and that changed my life financially. And so I agree with him on that. Anyway, he started his talk with a, I don't know, a 3 or 4 minute commercial. And it was just like a parody, but it was Ramit going around, penny pinching in the most like satirical way, right? He was like, let me just see if I can remember. He'd be like, hey, why spend money on toilet paper? It can be $1 to $2 a roll when you could just use leaves from a tree because they're absolutely free. I'm going to, you know, and just like, it got crude at sometimes, but it, you know, the point hit home. And then his talk was about those big wins and that sort of thing. And that's really when I really resonated with him because I understood that. But it was so funny because there were so many people there who I spoke with at dinners later and at the bar who were like, I hate Ramit. I don't like him. I don't like his style. He's super rude. That was just disrespectful. And maybe it was, but it got his point across. And it's very clear what he stands for. And that's why a lot of people stand with him. That's how he became a New York Times bestseller with his book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And I think more of us need to do that. More of us need to do that. So in this Friday follow-up, we talked about a bunch of things. We talked about the layoff lifeline. We talked about Kevin and putting our personality into our work and booping and beeping and bopping when you need to. We spoke about Ramit and taking a stand. So hopefully one of those topics today can help you get stronger, get better, and hopefully look forward to next week's episode where we have a great interview, actually, with somebody who I had just recently gotten to know. And I'm really excited to share what I had learned and some of what he has to share with you. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for listening to this Friday follow-up episode today. I hope you have a grand weekend. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And as always, Team Flynn for the win. Peace. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Sound design and editing by Paul Gregoris. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include a man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.